Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunny 38. Saturday night clouds, late night, a little mix of snow flurries, light snow, light freezing drizzle, and light sleet, 28. And then on Sunday, clouds, morning snow flurries, and 32. This is 97.1 FM Talk. Chief Meteorologist, Dave Murray.
The Annie Fry Show is sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. Air Comfort Service is hiring licensed journeymen. Don't have a journeyman license? Air Comfort Service will help you get it. Get guaranteed hours year-round and more. Apply online at aircomfortservice.com.
Annie Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
Hey, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Okay, so we talked at the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour about the FIFA World Cup draws taking place at the Kennedy Center today. Is this a big deal in your mind that, I mean, FIFA was coming to the United States for the World Cup, North America, or whatever, before Trump started this term, right?
Yeah. And the Olympics, too, right? I think that all predates. Mm-hmm.
Did he get those deals done in his first term?
Well, the Olympics he did. I don't know about FIFA, though.
Well, it's wild. President Trump is offered the opportunity to participate in the draw. Now, I don't really understand the draw. Ethan was educating us about it at the beginning of the show. You're a soccer guy, Ryan. They are basically, I'm going to speak it in the terms that I understand, setting the pools for the World Cup.
Yes.
So they do it by literally drawing pictures of mascots. No kidding. Names out of a hat, right?
As far as I understand it.
And did he say in the beginning, did Ethan say at the beginning there are 48 spots?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
48 spots. So Donald Trump is going to draw, just here at the beginning, the top teams.
But let's see.
Are you
who
sure?
Does he draw?
Are you sure this is the ball? You want? You can still change it if you want.
Does he know something that I don't know? Let's give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot. That he's pulling out of this bucket and he's got to open it. So it's not like he could look in there and see. You know, everything is concealed.
Let's set the stage here because what I can see on the side of the screen is that no.
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Let's just listen.
I can tell you what I can see.
He opens the ball, and he pulls out the draw.
And this is shocking.
And who does he pick?
United States of America.
Yeah! Excellent.
So Donald Trump, out of how many had been picked at that point?
So
is that the first one?
This didn't really tell us that much. We already knew that the U.S. was going to be in pot one. So I talked about those tiers of the quality of teams.
Yeah.
They break up the 48 teams or however many they know at to this point into four tiers. They call them pots. So the top 13 teams are basically going to be like the one seeds in their groups. And we already knew that the United States was going to be in pot one. We just didn't know which group they were going to be in. So this was President Trump saying,
out of 13 teams that he drew, how many balls were in there that he was going to draw from?
This we already knew that they were going to be in pot number one. So this, because they're a host country. So this wasn't like that much of breaking news. All this was really saying is like, okay, the U.S. is going to be playing in Group D. That's going to be their number. So
that's not the question, Ethan.
I don't get what you're asking then.
I'm saying that he randomly, out of the options that he had, that he drew the United States.
I don't know what the odds of that are.
You just think it's a dumb story, and you came in here to say it wasn't that big a deal. Good grief.
One of 13.
Happy Friday to everybody.
I assumed that he was going to draw is this the only one he drew? I assumed he was going to draw a few of them, I guess.
I couldn't tell from looking at the screen why it already had Canada and Mexico on the side.
Because we're all the host countries, that's why.
Oh, that's... Okay, so it's North America.
Okay, we're never talking about soccer on the show again, because I certainly don't know what I'm talking about, and when I talk about it, I just get proven that I don't know what I'm talking about.
If he only drew one, then it is kind of ironic then that he picked the U.S., but I just didn't know if he only picked one.
I still don't know. After all this.
Yeah.
But we do have
the worst segment of radio I've ever
this
been
is,
in.
This is still
in.
Going on, but we do have updated information as to who the United States is going to be playing in their group.
Rick says it's football in the rest of the world, Annie. Well, we aren't the rest of the world, Rick.
I don't give a crap.
Actually, by the end of this, Donald Trump's going to have everybody calling it soccer.
That's right.
It's really the whole point. We're going to take over the entire FIFA world and force everybody to call it soccer because football is a ball you use your hands with.
Yeah.
Unless you're a kicker. Unless you're a kicker from the Giants. And then you just kind of don't.
Russell says they stacked it. They were all USA balls. It was a setup. And then Joe says USA balls are the best balls.
Obviously.
All right. We know who the U.S.
Ethan,
is.
Ethan, stop.
No,
stop.
We're not doing that.
Do you have new information?
Yes, this is new.
Okay.
This is breaking news.
All right.
We know who the U.S. is going to be playing in their group. They have announced that Australia and Paraguay will be two of the countries, and then that playoff that I talked about in March will decide the third team. So we know two of the teams that the United States will play in the upcoming World Cup.
Discuss.
How do you like the chances against Paraguay?
Oh, we're going to do it. Brad's not willing to discuss. He's like, I'll ask the questions here.
Yeah, let's do this.
Ethan and Ryan fight it out for being the biggest expert.
I'm going with the USA here in this one.
The US of A, baby.
Yeah. You too?
I'm all patriotic today.
All right. USA it is. Pencil it in my bracket. You guys doing any fundraiser brackets this year for the FIFA?
Do people do that?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'd be willing to.
When's the actual tournament? Is it called a tournament?
When's the tournament?
We don't even know. My God. I've tried three times to start changing the subject. And as soon as I get ready to do it, someone's like, we have an update. And then we give the update. And then nobody has any even intellectual question to follow up. Other
Mid-June.
Than Brad's, how do you feel about that?
Mid-June.
Mid-June. Where is Paraguay,
which year?
Brad?
Next year?
26, yeah.
Oh, don't say it like I should know. Don't say it's like 26, dummy. You can't. I don't know any of this stuff.
I didn't
be.
Think I said it any sort of way.
No, I felt it.
You did.
See? Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome, Amy.
A little support here on the show. I started this segment with a clip that was just supposed to be the genesis of the big news story of the day for people who care about soccer and Donald Trump. And Ethan comes in and he's like, that's completely ridiculous. That's not what happened.
I don't think that's what I said.
Were all 48 teams in that bucket that he
doesn't
pulled.
Know.
You don't know.
No, they were not all in that bucket.
Now you know?
I never said I didn't know.
How many were in there? That was
13.
My initial question. I asked you 13 and you said you didn't know.
I am
so. He had a 1 in 13 chance.
Stop fighting.
He had a 1 in 13 chance
so
of pulling the USA
you're just
ball
uncomfortable
out.
Because you're not in it. Yeah. You're cool with it when you're in it.
I think we've come full circle. So he had a 1 in 13 chance of pulling that ball out.
Yeah, but are you saying that all the balls were USA balls, which would make them the best balls?
Some people are saying that. Mm-hmm. Some people say.
I know. And then we are still waiting in a completely unrelated but near adjacent move for Donald Trump to talk about the ballroom and the big, beautiful balls that they will be hosting there.
We are still waiting for that.
It needs to happen.
Speaking of
Ethan,
which.
Ethan, you want to bring it back to soccer?
I'm not going to speak.
which country is older, the United States or Paraguay, Annie?
Yep. I choose USA.
You're correct!
Isn't the United States one of the youngest countries in the world?
I don't know. Paraguay was formed in 1842.
Oh, Paraguay is younger?
Yeah.
Okay. Good guess, Annie.
Yeah, so we probably have a little bit longer soccer history than they do. Back to our founding fathers.
We are talking about soccer again.
I'm doing my best.
I have a really, really good topic that I want to cover and I can't now. Why? Because we have to do Ethan's segment next.
Yeah, we do. And we got to get like another three minutes, you know?
Yes,
we're in kind of a dead zone
here.
No,
we could break early.
We got so much more soccer content though.
We're in a deficit. I should have done a poll today about how many of our listeners are excited about the FIFA World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would be over 50%?
No.
Do you think it would be Ethan?
No.
Really?
No.
Brad?
I think it might be.
You guys should fight about
maybe
that.
25.
25%?
Oh, no. I bet it's like 51.
Both of you are wrong. The answer was 30.
Anyway.
That could be tomorrow's poll.
What would the percentage be in this room?
Is the question, are we excited about
the World Cup? Are we excited about the World Cup?
I'm not excited about it.
Brad?
Yeah.
Ethan?
I like it.
Yeah, I'll be excited once it gets here. Right now, I'm like, okay.
See, you can't even answer that question.
Yeah,
you gotta answer.
Are you excited right now?
No.
25%, Brad.
I'm excited about it. I like the World Cup.
What do you know about it? More than us?
I know it starts off with pool play, and then the best teams that come out of pool play then go into the knockout phase, and then they knockout phase, and then they do the final phase, and then the winner is the best soccer team in the world.
Fun fact.
Football
lead
team.
Singer of pool play, Chris Martin.
Breaker of hearts. We're going to get fired.
Heck yeah, we are.
You know FIFA runs the world.
Yeah, that's behind true. All the thrown elections of China and
pronounced FIFA.
Look at Donald Trump dancing. There's a weird angle.
There's a
shot
weird angle.
All right, I am so excited to talk about the pipe bomber, but it's going to have to wait to the bottom of the hour. We're going to hand this over for sports and local to Ethan here when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll about January 6th. How did it happen? Was it an unfortunate series of events, Republican conspiracy, Democrat conspiracy, or a deep state conspiracy? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. Give us a comment as to why you voted the way you did. You can also text essentially Ryan, because he's the one who gets to read them first, at 314-241-9797. Betsy says on our YouTube poll, as much as I want to answer Democrats only, I think it is both. Hopefully I am totally wrong on this. Ron says, well...
Are you calling from a ladder?
I voted Dems on today's poll, but given politicians are a direct reflection of our culture, we are in big trouble. All right, keep sending us your comments. I'll get to a few more of them here as we go throughout the show. We'll be right back.
Jesus, man with men too well. Jesus, I man you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
7-1 FM Talk, St. Louis Conservative.
Hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
Flying high with Ethan the Space Manafort.
Oh my gosh.
A plus.
Thank you.
Did you come up with that on your own?
I did.
In my imagination, you lay in bed thinking of Ethan and new intros.
I do. And I just giggle.
Ethan, do you lay in bed and think of Ryan Wiggins?
I think you asked me that question when he was gone.
Did I? That's a really weird question to ask.
Very firm no. Very firm no.
Don't say firm. Do you lay in bed and think, no, that's a firm
right.
No.
All right, let's do sports and local. In fact, let's talk more about soccer. Anything. I'm getting itchy.
What's going on in soccer?
Yeah, tomorrow we will find out where the games will be played, so which locations each of the matches will be at, so we'll find out which games will be in Kansas City.
Does Trump stand up in front of people and pick out balls again?
I highly
do. Do they all
it.
Say USA?
Picked enough balls.
Are there 13 of them?
Baker's dozen.
Oh, boy. Well, if I were to ask you guys how many teams in hockey didn't have
hockey. Good.
10 wins this year,
oh no!
How many would you guess?
I'm good at taking tests. I would guess 1.
Brad?
2.
Wiggins?
3.
It is 1.
6 or 7. I knew it.
Does anyone want to guess what that team is?
No.
Nope.
Nice hat.
Nope. Yeah, what are you wearing
like
right now?
I like your hoodie.
I am repping the St. Louis Blues.
Who are you wearing, Ethan?
The St. Louis Blues.
Ethan, do you lay in bed and think about Ryan Wiggins?
Is there a word stronger than firm? Can someone look up synonyms?
No.
Of
no.
Firm?
Don't look up abort mission.
Firm.
Oh, that's a
synonyms.
Hard no. Very hard.
Hard.
That's
solid,
a rigid no.
Gentlemen.
Unyielding. Solidified. Hardened.
You got any other stories there, Ethan? Spaceman?
Blues lost last night 5-2 to the Boston Bruins.
Real question, Ethan. What's the problem? Is it? That's, I mean, sometimes you're not good enough.
Last night, Jim Montgomery was asked, you know, the same thing that he's been asked far too many times.
Was the question, do you lay in bed and think of it? Was the question, what's the problem?
Yes. And
wouldn't
he
it be
gave
awesome
a very
if that were the question?
He gave a very firm answer.
Did he?
He did. He said that it continues to be an effort issue.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
That's the worst.
How do you say that as a coach?
He was then asked a follow-up question saying, are you concerned, something along the lines of this, are you concerned that you are still having to tribute effort being your main issue this far into the season?
How does he say, no, I'm not concerned?
And he said, yes. That is literally all he said.
Is his job in jeopardy? And speaking of jeopardy, can you answer that in the form of a question?
What is...
Guys,
no.
3 o'clock is going to be a mess. We're going to burn this station down before Mark Reardon even gets his microphone. The round table is going to have to put it back brick by brick.
You shook your head no, though. Is he not?
In the off season,
I want to know the answer.
In the offseason, Jim Montgomery signed a 5-year extension. He was brought in.
Didn't Lane Kiffin have a longer contract?
He was just given a 7-year extension.
Oh, LSU. It was only 7.
Yeah, just 7. 5-7.
6-7.
No, no, no. Gosh, Ryan, you make it so hard to do this sometimes.
Oh, there he went again.
Yeah, you keep saying that word.
You make it so firm to do this sometimes.
Yeah. It's so gross.
I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going for the sake of 97.1 FM Talk for our listeners. But I'm going to change the subject. We're going to talk about...
to literally anything but soccer.
I'm going to talk about, you know, a couple days ago we talked about how St. Louis is considered to be one of the more fun cities in the U.S. I think it was 13th on the list according to Wallet Hub.
18th.
No, I think it was 13th. I think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, fine. That's fine. But there are some, I mean, we obviously know about plenty of the negatives going on in our city right now.
Yes, I mean, seriously, they're like, St. Louis sports is in a rut.
When St. Louis sports are in a bad spot, it is so bad for the city because, I mean, so much of the heartbeat of the city is based around how well
bringing
the Cardinals and Blues
downtown,
are
bringing people downtown, exposing them to... Yes. You know, you come down for a sporting event and you're exposed to other things that are cool that are going, like Ballpark Village and all of that. And it's, I said this to you, I don't know, a few months ago, but I was like, you know, my son Charlie is 15 years old. He's almost 16. He was born in 2009.
This makes me sad.
Think about the baseball that he's seen since 2009. He remembers being in the family room in 2011.
No, he doesn't.
He says he does.
As a 2-year-old?
He says he does. It was an imprint on his brain. Maybe he remembers the pictures that we took or whatever. But he says he remembers it. And he's repeated things that happened that I kind of believe him. Whatever. I'm letting him have that faux memory, even if it is faux. But, like, think about it from there. He has a Stanley Cup, which is more than a lot of St. Louisans could say about their childhood. But come on. It's been too freaking long. I don't know. Spend some money or something.
It's going to be a couple years, unfortunately, for the Cardinals. Here's the thing that sucks about the Blues is this was really supposed to be the year that they were getting it back in order. They were. I was. And most people were. And I mean, it's really one of those situations where it just does not make sense, unfortunately, for the Blues, which I know people don't want to hear because they won't have an understanding as to what the issue is. Nobody knows the issue. I don't even know if Jim Montgomery knows the issue.
Do we have talented players?
We do. We certainly do. I don't know how deep you want me to go into this, but there is, I mean, there are plenty of, yes, the simple answer is yes, is that there is no reason that a roster of this caliber should
cursed?
Be struggling as much as they are. Are we cursed?
Is the city cursed?
I'm going to give a firm no on that one.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Can't argue with that.
It just disappoints me that when people come downtown and they expose themselves to our sports and it's in this kind of a rut, that disappoints me. It's a firm disappointment.
I'm not helping.
More than a third of homes in the St. Louis metro area have lost value over the past year, according to new research from Zillow. The report shows that 38.2% of homes in St. Louis have declined in value over a year. Despite this, only just under 3% of new listings in St. Louis are priced below what they previously sold for. So most homeowners are not selling for a loss. This is down from 7% in 2019.
What a bummer. Okay. That's it. Are you done?
Do you guys want more? Or
I think it's pretty obvious.
You guys give up? Are you thirsty for more?
I got some zoo news.
Zoo news?
Yeah.
I can't remember who I heard that said that they think that the ultimate sequel to Home Alone is that Kevin McAllister falls on hard times and has to rob people's homes in order to like make ends meet, and he meets his match in a new Kevin McAllister.
Oh my gosh, that's a great plot.
Ryan's like, I'm writing that right
Macaulay now. Macaulay Culkin has suggested a plot for a sequel.
Recently? I think it was in the news recently.
Yeah, it's going around.
And there was a Hollywood-type person who retweeted that and said the only way to do this is if Kevin McAllister gets Kevin McAllistered because he now has to rob homes.
That's a fact.
I think that would be great.
I mean, I'd see this movie no matter.
But you got to make that movie for us. Kids, I would like it if kids could be able to watch it, but it should be for the kid. It should be for the 90s kids.
And there has to be zero redemption for him. It can't be like at the end, like, oh, well, he's actually a pretty good guy. He's got to just go to jail for the rest of his life.
With John Candy. Well.
I don't know whether that hell happened.
Yikes.
I think there needs to be redemption. Why do you think there needs to be no redemption?
Because it's funnier.
No,
if
it's
people
not.
Are expecting, like, oh, it's a family movie. And at the end, he's like, nope, he's in jail.
Zoo news. Speaking of, one more story. Ethan, you can do it. We believe in you.
The St. Louis Zoo is now caring for a female bobcat kitten that had been illegally kept as a household pet.
Lady cat.
The zoo announced the arrival of a young bobcat named Lila.
I don't think it's like that.
Because she was raised as a pet for some time, she can no longer survive on her own in the wild.
So she like roams?
What'd you say?
Does she roam free?
Like through the zoo?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh.
She should. There would be no issues towards that.
Oh, it's a bobcat.
Therefore, she's going to remain in the care of the zoo. Lila is currently settling in behind the scenes, receiving care from the zoo's professional keepers, and she's expected to make a public debut in the next year as a part of the zoo's ambassador animal team.
When you're walking around the zoo, how much of your mental headspace is thinking about what am I going to do if one of these animals escapes?
I'd say probably 15 to 20%.
It's definitely like a...
It's there.
It's present.
Yeah.
Are you excited about it?
A little bit. If it's a gorilla, yes. If it's a tiger, no. Gorillas just seem like they'd be my friends.
Oh, yeah, you go up and give them a cuddly hug.
They would not.
But you might, though.
No.
Like, there's a better chance that they would just be your friend.
No, well, Ryan? Better than a tiger, probably, but see? Not much better.
That's what I mean.
The odds are still not great.
What are you picking, Ethan? Gorilla or tiger?
Oh, I'm taking gorilla, but I mean the odds of surviving either is low.
Ryan's point.
I mean, you're going to die probably either way.
I think you'd die faster with a tiger. What about you, Brad?
I think a gorilla rips you apart way faster.
I don't think the gorilla's mad at you.
I think the gorilla plays with you a while and is like, okay, I'm going to King Kong you.
Yeah, but I think
gorillas are pretty aggressive.
Game, you're gone. Like, whop, slams your head on the ground.
The tiger is looking for retribution.
So the tiger is emotional.
Yes. Whereas
the gorilla is bothered.
Is a male or female tiger?
I don't know.
Is this about gender?
I'm just saying, it's probably a little more emotional it's a female.
I do think that the gorilla in my head is a female and therefore is cradling everyone.
Like
it's a mother.
Like me. In Tarzan?
Like
yeah. Like
and
if
then
it walks
she
up
sings
to me,
to you, come stop your crying, it'll be all right.
Wow, you
that's,
pulled that out.
That's ridiculous.
Just take my hand.
I'm trying to be realistic here.
Hold it tight.
And now you're talking about the gorilla singing to
tell
people.
Phil.
Yeah, have you seen Tarzan?
No.
The Disney cartoons?
Don't even know what Tarzan is.
Well.
Never heard of it.
Mama Tarzan and Elton John sing a beautiful song.
Not Elton John.
This is Bruce Almighty all over again. Phil Collins. Yes.
Here we go.
We'll be right back.
Oh, that's the end.
Most of it. No, the end was a little bit earlier, but okay. Here we are.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was lightning before the thunder.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. That YouTube live chat poll for today. If you want to text us your thoughts on this, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Let us know if you have thoughts on January 6th. How did it happen? You think it was an unfortunate series of events, a Republican conspiracy, Democrat conspiracy, or a deep state conspiracy? This is why I was talking a little bit earlier in the show about how the absence of effort, maybe. We spoke with Trey Gowdy at 12:15 on the show, and I asked him, like, how do you go 4 years, 4+ years, and you got nothing on who this pipe bomber was? But, you know, the pipe bomber was always a part of the J6 story. It was always adjacent to it. It was always out there. And, you know, I think it's an important exercise to say, okay, well, while we didn't have a Justice Department investigating, FBI investigating what might have occurred during the pipe bombing, even though we continued to talk about it in the narrative that was approved for January 6th, what was it that was being said about the pipe bomber? So let's just take, can you put us in the Wayback Machine here, Ryan, real quick? Why did you turn your microphone off? I don't think that's the right Wayback Machine.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, I thought you were going to do like a Wayne's World thing.
Oh, is it the reverse tape effect? Was it the...
Yes, that was what I was thinking of, now that you've mentioned it. 2022, was it Mehdi Hasan on what was then MSNBC? This is what he had to say about the pipe bomber.
Jelani, you're a black man. I'm a Muslim. When you consider how black criminals and Muslim terrorists are treated, both by the legal system and by the media, and yet the January 6th pipe bomber who laid explosives in front of the RNC and DNC headquarters still walks free. We just learned today that then-Vice President-elect Harris was inside the DNC when the bomb was found there. We still don't take domestic terrorism of the far-right white variety seriously in this country.
What? I'm going to pause here because there's more. Let's listen real close here. In 2022, what Mehdi Hasan on MSNBC had to say about the pipe bomber, he just says that we don't take what?
White variety seriously in this country, do we?
No, we don't. We've seen this since the Obama administration, where they pointed out that there was this rise of white nationalist terror, and that was promptly squashed and jumped upon by the Republicans in Congress. And so great cries of outrage in response to that. And this has been what we've seen since then, nowhere near the level of alarm that we've had around the, what was the phrase they used, Islamic terror, that they were trying to make Barack Obama say all the time?
Yeah, it's just so depressing, the double standards. I don't know how many times you can draw attention to it. I, as a Muslim, keep drawing attention to it because it kills me.
Wow. Oh, by the way, the chyron on this whole discussion is January 6th pipe bomb suspect still at large. So it's not, they're not talking about other aspects
no
of January
sugar.
6th. They're just talking about the pipe bomber.
Just and while they're talking about it, they're not saying, why don't we have this guy in custody? They're not criticizing the fact that they haven't gotten the guy yet so that they can bring him to justice. They're saying
the system and by the media. And yet the January 6th pipe bomber who laid explosives in front of the RNC and DNC headquarters still walks free. We just learned today that then Vice President-elect Harris was inside the DNC.
I want to know why she was inside the DNC on January 5th. It's just another question that I have. Yeah. Why was she there?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a place where you go when you're already elected. I don't know. I mean, it could be nothing, but
when the bomb was found there, we still don't take domestic terrorism of the far right white variety seriously in this.
Screw you, buddy. That makes me so mad, because that right there is the evidence that we all need to see that they weren't looking at actual evidence. Their headline is the pipe bomber still walks free. This is 2022. So this is well a year after the event actually occurred. You've had the opportunity for a year. What did Trey Gowdy say? Most of the investigation takes place within 72 hours of the crime. And a year later, the headline is the pipe bomber is still out there free. And what is the reasoning for it? It's because we don't take far right wing white domestic terrorism seriously. I need to ask a question. And somebody tell me why I'm so stupidly wrong on this. But this right wing extremism of the domestic terrorist white variety, what are they talking about? Give me three examples of that.
Uh, Dylan Roof, but I don't even know if he's right winger.
Was he a right winger?
I don't know.
No.
But they throw him in that category. He's literally the only one I can think of that they sort of use.
The closest you could get is the South Carolina church shooting, which was a white guy who walked into that black church in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley was the governor at the time. And he sat in this black church. They prayed with him, and they shot him up.
Ooh.
It was unbelievable. But, like, why does that get labeled white, right-wing, white extremism? It's because he's white.
Because
it is a tenet of these people in the media that racism belongs to the right. And that is that you should never engage in a convert. You should never defend against that because it is a false premise. If you start debating whether or not something is right wing or not, because they've already surmised that if it's racist, it's right wing. False premise. I do not accept your argument as it is presented. We're not having that discussion.
This Mehdi Hasan is racist.
No,
the argument that he's making is racist. He's forcing everybody on his show to say before they start the argument, we all know that this guy's white, right? He's a pipe bomber, so he must be white. Now let's have a discussion.
And there's no discussion as to who this individual might be. And they don't even... It's intentional. They don't want specifics. Specifics would completely and totally kill their entire narrative. So we can't get to specifics, which is why you have evidence sitting in some file folder or bird bag or something, wherever the Justice Department under Joe Biden kept all of their evidence that was incriminating towards their own political party. You just let it sit because the narrative that manifests in the absence of actual truth and evidence is way more politically advantageous to those people. Then we go, fast forward, time machine, get us back to today, Ryan. Here is CNN's Jake Tapper last night.
Capital attack. Brian Cole Jr., a 30-year-old white man from the D.C. suburbs, is charged with transporting an explosive device in...
What?
Unbelievable.
What? One more time, Jake Tapper.
Attack.
Last night.
Brian Cole Jr., a 30-year-old white man from
the... How does that even become part of a story? Because if I don't... Has Jake Tapper, like, reacted to saying that? Has he gone out there and said... I don't know if he's on his ex... And he's been... Because, like, it was a screw-up. And there are things that you can say accidentally, and they don't actually have the intention of the weight of consequence... like saying something like this happens. But I'm here to tell you that if he were to get it right, what he wouldn't have said is a 30-year-old black man. He would have said a 30-year-old man.
That's a fact.
You're only indicating the fact that I need everybody here to know that this guy was a white guy. It's only worth reporting in the agenda-driven leftist media when it is in fact a white guy, because they're trying to shape narrative. And they're trying to push back against truth in information, and it is too risky for the Jake Tappers of the world to say black man, because you could show a picture of the guy. He's got a mugshot, probably. Well, I guess he was arrested yesterday. He probably has mugshot pending. But there's a picture of him that's floating around. You could just show a picture of him. You don't have to say white or black. They have to say white in an effort to try to push back against the narrative that they want to reshape. It is activism. It is not journalism, and it is intentional. I don't think that Jake Tapper said white man. I'd like to know if I'll look in the break here, but I'd like to know if he's like been like, guys, my bad. It might have been in this teleprompter.
Yeah.
He might have anchorman that thing. Like, I don't know that Jake Tapper had some sort of conspiratorial, like, I'm just going to say change his name once so that enough people think he was white and maybe they won't check my facts. I don't really think it was that big of a deal. But the point that they would say white man intentionally in other stories, when you put it in the broader context of things, it is a problem for leftists to identify a criminal as black, because then they attribute the action of one man to a race. So they have to report to try to balance things out in a way that is actually more racist by their actions to try to indicate, like, look at all the things that white people do, to try to alleviate the thought that if a black criminal is identified as being black, that has somehow speaks for the race. It doesn't. It speaks for the actions of that one individual, not the color of their skin. And America is able to watch that and assess that situation. Maybe some jerks are not able to, but those people are jerks. And they are not. Racist people belong to both parties. Those people are a-holes. That's just who they are. It's not a political affiliation, but to suggest that being racist is a tenet of the Republican Party and that non-racism is a tenet of the Democrat Party is so incredibly ignorant. It's an intentional effort by the left to try to make that an acceptable preamble to any sort of political conversation you would have.
Even if Jake Tapper just got this wrong, which is possible, it does feed into the narrative. Everything you're saying is right. But Mehdi Hassan's is deliberately racist. And the ironic thing is that the point of the conversation he's having is that people are too racist. And he's being exactly what he's talking about. It's so sad. That guy and so many people like him, they're just so blinded by this ideology that they can't see past 5 feet in front of their face when it's obvious that they're doing what they hate.
I don't know. You're actually, I think, giving them a little more credit than I'm willing to. I think they know people eat this up, and so they're willing to spoon feed it to people. They're, the people who follow this and are willing to take the spoon-fed bites, I do feel sorry for those people who have been watching people that they have inadvertently trusted to give them facts. They get brainwashed. The Mehdi Hassans of the world, I think they know exactly what they're doing. I think it's intentional. I think it's destructive. I don't think they're stupid. I think they're... I was going to say evil. Is that fair? Is that too much?
No. If they're doing it on purpose,
yeah,
that's an evil thing to do.
People do it on the left and the right. We could call out a lot of people on the right doing that right now, too. All right, quick break. Go vote in the YouTube poll. We'll be right back. All right, you can send us some of your texts if you so choose, 314-241-9797, and let us know what you think about the YouTube poll, January 6th. How did it happen? You think the Republicans conspired, Democrats conspired, the deep state conspired, or maybe you just think that it kind of just got out of hand, which I think that that's, of these options, you and I talked about it before the show. I asked Ryan to help me make sure that the...
I'd never seen...
Oops, sorry. I want to get to Tim Walls here in a second. You just pipe down there, Timmy. I wanted to make sure that Ryan felt like our options that we presented you today covered the bases. You and I both were like, I think it's a Democrat conspiracy. But you're like, but deep state.
And I'll add the third one that I really believe is also true, is that it's an unfortunate series of events. I think it's all of those things. I don't think it's a Republican conspiracy. I will read this one text, though, from our text line. They don't identify who they are, but it says, not a Republican conspiracy, but I do believe it was started by the extreme far right like Proud Boys. So that would be a vote for Republican conspiracy, ultimately. So somebody in our audience, at least, is thinking, yes, it was the Republicans that started this thing.
With the BBC editing that video, you know, in a global capacity, having President Trump say, like, basically, like, let's march to the Capitol and take it down, whatever he said. That's not what he said, but they edited statements together that were like an hour apart.
Oh, that was recently, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
BBC, and it was in Australia, too.
They apologized for it, and Trump's like, I think I'm still going to sue you. But the narrative that was, again, built, the impeachment process in the Senate, like, they played the clip over and over. He said, march peacefully and patriotically. I mean, how much more indication can you give that you're like, don't riot, which maybe he should have said, but how would he possibly have known? We know people who were there on January 6th, who were on the complete other side of the Capitol building, who had no idea that people were penetrating the Capitol building. There is a handful of people who are involved in taking this thing way to the next level. And it is so frustrating to me to listen to the left repeatedly talk about the consequence of our words. To say over and over and over again, you know, they played a whole long thing about President Trump saying, like, you know, this is a little bit down the road, but fight, fight, fight. They would have played that. The Democrats who had impeached Donald Trump in the House after January 6th, who then went to the Senate, which is where you get basically the impeachment is a charge that comes from the House. And then the Senate has to try him. And then you have to have a 60 vote majority. Maybe.
Yeah. It might be 66.
It might be 2/3. It feels like it should be. But you have to be able to get an actual, you know, strong majority in order to actually remove the person from office. So when people say he was impeached a bunch of times, that's basically saying the House charged him with these, not civil crimes, because it's a political situation. But they went into the Senate, and when they were trying him, they were trying to prove their point to say, you guys need to vote to remove him from office. They played this really long thing of President Trump saying things like, you need to fight. I guarantee you, they would have probably repeated regularly the fight, fight, fight line from President Trump after he got shot in the head at a rally. Their takeaway from that would be like, he's telling people to fight. It's disgusting. It's so, the gaslighting that goes around in this, the way they repeat the same stories over and over and over again. And you have the people who lap up the Mehdi Hassans of the world and are like, gosh, he's really right. Right wing extremism, domestic terrorism is really out of hand. But you never go like, can you give me some examples of that? His example is the pipe bomber. The pipe bomber turns out to be a black guy who's an anarchist. But they didn't need that fact. In fact, the truth of the matter, the evidence of the matter, would have completely dismantled the position that they have on the issue. So they don't talk in truths, in reality, in facts. They talk in hypotheticals. That's all they ever do. They have the gall, like Tim Walz. How many times have we heard people on the left talk about the Gestapo and the way that ICE is coming into these communities? They are villainizing law enforcement, federal law enforcement, for enforcing laws that are on the books. You don't like the laws. You know how you change them? You get elected. You win elections. And then you go in and you make the laws reflect the way the people who sent those individuals in our republic, in Congress, they have to pass laws that still fit within the Constitution, which is the governing authority in our country. You change those laws. But until you change the laws, it is our law enforcement's responsibility to enforce said laws. But Democrats all over the country, what do they keep doing? They are villainizing, intentionally villainizing our ICE agents to the point where those ICE agents are now in danger when they do their jobs. I feel like the left, I don't know if you guys disagree with this, but I feel like the left uses violent rhetoric exponentially more than the right does.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. The other thing, though, is that before we get off the Tim Walz story, the first two nights of that story breaking, it was about Tim Walz, but it was also just about massive fraud. And there was zero coverage in any mainstream media of that.
I want to talk about the rhetoric, though, because when the left is consistently talking about Nazis and Hitler and people who are, you know, this is just like, you know, 1930s Germany and saying this is what happened. I mean, how many times has J.B. Pritzker talked about this and put a target on people's backs? That's what he's doing. The left is rampant with this kind of rhetoric. But Tim Walz, you know, he's had enough and he thinks the Republicans need to shape up.
Sure. Brew. This creates danger. And I'll tell you what, in my time on this, I'd never seen this before. People driving by my house and using the R word in front of people. This is shameful. And I have yet to see an elected official, a Republican elected official, say, you're right, that's shameful. He should not say it. So look, I'm worried. We know how these things go. They start with taunts, they turn to violence. So deeply concerned.
Tim Walz is saying that people are driving in front of his house calling him retard. That's what he's saying right there. He has people going in front of his house using the R word as an insult, a pejorative towards Tim Walz. And he says, you know how these things go. Tim Walz, where were you when Charlie Kirk was assassinated on a college campus after he's been called Hitler and Nazi over and over and over again? Tim Walz is so incredibly ignorant to the fact. I actually think, you know, we were talking about Mehdi Hasan and these people being smart and knowing what they're doing. Tim Walz actually might be dumb. I think Tim Walz might actually be incompetent. Sit down on this one. As we heard yesterday from Joe Concha, was it Joe Concha who said that Harris Faulkner says you can take two seats on this one? Tim Walz saying that people are driving in front of his house using the R word. He goes, this stuff turns to violence. And he hasn't heard one Republican come out and say, we need to tone down this rhetoric. You first, buddy. You first, Governor Tim Walz. Meanwhile, you are in a hot mess of trouble. And I think it's the comeuppance. You know, if he's incompetent, if he's negligent or malfeasant, we will find out shortly. Because Minnesota and that fraud, it all works its way back to Tim Walz's front door. Ask us anything in the next hour. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.